Zarathustra's Discourses, Chapter 1, The Three Metamorphoses. Three metamorphoses of the spirit do I designate to you: how the spirit becomes a camel, the camel a lion, and the lion at last a child. Many heavy things are there for the spirit, the strong load-bearing spirit in which reverence dwells. For the heavy and the heaviest longs its strength. What is heavy? So asks the load-bearing spirit. Then it kneels down like the camel and wants to be well laden. What is the heaviest thing, you heroes? Asks the load-bearing spirit, that I may take it upon me and rejoice in my strength. Is it not this, to humiliate oneself in order to mortify one's pride, to exhibit one's folly in order to mock at one's wisdom? Or is it this, to desert our cause when it celebrates its triumph, to ascend high mountains to tempt the tempter? Or is it this, to feed on the acorns and grass of knowledge, and for the sake of truth to suffer hunger of soul? Or is it this, to be sick and dismiss comforters, and make friends of the deaf who never hear your requests? Or is it this, to go into foul water when it is the water of truth, and not disclaim cold frogs and hot toads? Or is it this, to love those who despise us, and give one's hand to the phantom when it is going to frighten us? All these heaviest things the load-bearing spirit takes upon itself, and like the camel, which when laden, hastens into the wilderness, so hastens the spirit into its wilderness. But in the loneliest wilderness happens a second metamorphosis. Here the spirit becomes a lion. Freedom will it capture, and lordship in its own wilderness. Its last lord it here seeks. Hostile will it be to him and to its last god. For victory will it struggle with the great dragon. What is the great dragon which the spirit is no longer inclined to call lord and god? You shall, is the great dragon called. But the spirit of the lion says, I will. You shall lies in its path, sparkling with gold, a scale-covered breast, and on every scale glitters golden, you shall. The values of 1,000 years glitter on those scales, and thus speaks the mightiest of all dragons. All the value of things glitter on me. All values have already been created, and all created values do I represent. Verily, there shall be no I will any more. Thus speaks the dragon. My brethren, wherefore is there need of the lion in the spirit? Why suffices not the beast of burden which renounces and is reverent? To create new values, that even the lion cannot yet accomplish, but to create itself freedom for new creating, that can the might of the lion do. To create itself freedom, and give a holy nay even to duty. For that, my brethren, there is need of the lion. To assume the right to new values, that is the most formidable assumption for a load-bearing and reverent spirit. Verily, to such a spirit it is praying, and the work of a beast of prey. As its holiest, it once loved you shall. Now is it forced to find illusion and arbitrariness even in the holiest things, that it may capture freedom from its love. The lion is needed for this capture. But tell me, my brethren, what the child can do, which even the lion could not do. Why has the praying lion still to become a child? Innocence is the child, and forgetfulness, a new beginning, a game, a self-rolling wheel, a first movement. A holy yea. Aye, for the game of creating, my brethren, there is needed a holy yea to life. Its own will wills now the spirit. His own world wins the world's outcast. Three metamorphoses of the spirit have I designated to you: how the spirit becomes a camel, the camel a lion, and the lion at last a child. Thus spoke Zarathustra, and at that time, he abode in the town which is called the Pied Cow. Chapter 2. The Academic Chairs of Virtue. People commended to Zarathustra a wise man, as one who could discourse well about sleep and virtue, Greatly was he honored and rewarded for it, and all the youths sat before his chair. To him went Zarathustra, and sat among the youths before his chair. And thus spoke the wise man. Respect and modesty in presence of sleep, that is the first thing. And to go out of the way of all who sleep badly and keep awake at night. Modest is even the thief in presence of sleep. He always steals softly through the night. Immodest, however, is the night watchman. Immodestly, he carries his horn. No small art is it to sleep. It is necessary for that purpose to keep awake all day. 10 times a day must you overcome yourself. That causes wholesome weariness and is poppy to the soul. 10 times must you reconcile again with yourself, for overcoming is bitterness, and badly sleep the unreconciled. 10 truths must you find during the day. Otherwise, will you seek truth during the night, and your soul will have been hungry. 10 times must you laugh during the day and be cheerful. Otherwise, your stomach, the father of affliction, will disturb you in the night. Few people know it, but one must have all the virtues in order to sleep well. Shall I bear false witness? Shall I commit adultery? Shall I covet my neighbor's maidservant? All that will ill accord with good sleep. And even if one have all the virtues, there is still one thing needful, to send the virtues themselves to sleep at the right time, that they may not quarrel with one another, the good females, and about you, you unhappy one. Peace with God and your neighbor, so desires good sleep, and peace also with your neighbor's devil, otherwise it will haunt you in the night. Honor to the government and obedience, and also to the crooked government, so desires good sleep. How can I help it if power likes to walk on crooked legs? He who leads his sheep to the greenest pasture shall always be for me the best shepherd. So does it accord with good sleep. Many honors I want not, nor great treasures. They excite the spleen. But it is bad sleeping without a good name and a little treasure. A small company is more welcome to me than a bad one, but they must come and go at the right time. So does it accord with good sleep. Well also, do the poor in spirit please me. They promote sleep. Blessed are they, especially if one always gives in to them. Thus passes the day to the virtuous. When night comes, then take I good care not to summon sleep. It dislikes to be summoned. Sleep, the lord of the virtues. But I think of what I have done and thought during the day. Thus ruminating, patient as a cow, I ask myself, what were your 10 overcomings? And what were the 10 reconciliations? And the 10 truths? And the 10 laughters with which my heart enjoyed itself? Thus pondering and cradled by 40 thoughts, it overtakes me all at once, sleep, the unsummoned, the lord of the virtues. Sleep taps on my eyes, and it turns heavy. Sleep touches my mouth, and it remains open. Verily, on soft soles does it come to me, the dearest of thieves, and steals from me my thoughts. Stupid do I then stand, like this academic chair. But not much longer do I then stand, I already lie. When Zarathustra heard the wise man thus speak, he laughed in his heart. For thereby had a light dawned upon him, and thus spoke he to his heart. A fool seems this wise man with his 40 thoughts. But I believe he knows well how to sleep. Happy even is he who lives near this wise man. Such sleep is contagious. Even through a thick wall it is contagious. A magic resides even in his academic chair, and not in vain did the youth sit before the preacher of virtue. His wisdom is to keep awake in order to sleep well. And verily, if life had no sense, and I had to choose nonsense, this would be the most desirable nonsense for me also. Now know I well what people sought formerly above all else when they sought teachers of virtue. Good sleep they sought for themselves, and poppy-head virtues to promote it. To all those belauded sages of the academic chairs, wisdom was sleep without dreams. They knew no higher significance of life. Even at present, to be sure, there are some like the preacher of virtue, and not always so honorable. But their time is past, and not much longer do they stand. There they already lie. Blessed are those drowsy ones, for they shall soon nod to sleep. Thus spoke Zarathustra.